Right, let's open our Bibles. Going back to John, and tonight we're going to be going into the 14th chapter. And we finished that 13th chapter in such glorious love. I want to just get a little bit of a reminder of what we were encouraged in that 13th chapter. But the opening was, Jesus said, I'll love you forever. I'll love you forever. And he tells them that, knowing fully well that each and every one of those disciples is going to fall away. They're going to doubt. As much as he's preached to them and loved them and held them and told them, they're not going to stand with him. And matter of fact, we didn't either, because all had forsaken him. So we have to know this. So we see that great love, that great grace. Then we went on, and I did have to point out one more time, the love for all souls. You know, he died for the sin of all men. And the love that he displays and shows and proves for Judas, even though he knows that Judas will deny him, he still is troubled in that. He still washes his feet. He still gives him the sop. The bread of life is right there. He gives him every chance and opportunity to believe and to receive him as Savior. But we know that Judas refuses it and enters out into utter darkness. Then, as we close it up, he said, remember my new commandment, that you love one another. I like that one, don't you? Praise God. But seeing ourselves, it's impossible, isn't it? Yes, it is. Has to be the love of God. And again, that's Christ that performs everything in us. Most people would rather have a set of rules to try to live by, but they can't. But boy, when you tell them to love everybody, what do you mean, huh? And then you hear the one, well, I love them, but I don't like them, and all of this kind of stuff. And I'm glad the Lord likes you. Yeah, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He loves you. So, some wonderful, wonderful encouragement of our Savior. But with all of that encouragement in the endless depths of his love, he gives us no greater introduction into this 14th chapter. This is the beginning of the introduction to the Comforter, praise the Lord, the Spirit of Truth, that now will be sent by Christ, and the reason is that we would be led into all truth, obviously, to know, to take the things of Christ, and to that the Holy Ghost would make them ours, but so much that the love of God would be shed abroad in our hearts. And I am thankful for that time that God has given us with him to be born in this time, in this age, that we can be in that bridal company. So we're going to begin here in this 14th chapter with wonderful encouragement. And I'll tell you what, these disciples sure need it, because the last thing that Jesus said to Peter is the cock is not going to crow and you're going to deny me three times. So we know that we need some encouragement here. So let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 6. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Praise God, isn't that wonderful? But listen to that. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Isn't that wonderful? How simple, how precious. You know, brothers and sisters, we do have a choice. Every trial, every situation we face or in, are we going to let ourselves be troubled? You believe in God, believe also in me. You shouldn't be troubled. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for that simplicity. Isn't that wonderful? It's just right there. Let me. Let God. I'm so enamored with the simplicity of believing. Just let me. Amen. So, he tells them, let not your heart be troubled. And with all the darkness and hate that's growing around our precious Lord, you have to think his greatest concern is the fear and the sadness of the disciples. Praise the Lord. I pray that encourages us as well. Sometimes we can get so caught up in our own trials, we're not praying for one another. And God help us to be encouraged that we're a body, we're one in him. So we need to pray. His focus is always the joy that was set before him to endure that cross, wasn't it? It was always the joy. So that's why I say his focus was those disciples. He was going to the cross for the disciples. He was going to the cross for me. He was going to the cross for you. And that was the joy that was set before him. Praise the Lord, he endured the cross. That's why the joy that was right before him that was troubled, meaning those disciples, that had his attention. Thank you, Lord. It wasn't, you know, that he was just put out with them or mad at them or anything of that nature. He loved them, and their trouble touched him. Their trouble touched him, just like our trouble touches him. Amen. Now, why are they so fearful? Well, yes, unbelief, just like when we get fearful, unbelief. But I want you to think about what they've been told here in probably the last few hours of why they're troubled. First of all, the Lord's told them one of them is the devil. They know this. They see that Jesus is troubled. They might not even perceive that he's troubled for them because they're not looking at him as God. What's wrong with Jesus? He's troubled. That troubles us. And he told them that he's about to depart. And the reason they're troubled, brothers and sisters, is because they are not understanding, they are not believing. And when we don't understand and we don't believe, all that's left for us is fear. The perfect love was there. Amen? And I believe the Word of God tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? So there is perfect love. It's perfect peace. As he said, this is my peace I give unto you. This is my peace. And I thank the Lord that he's encouraging them that you're loved with a perfect love. I'll love you to the end. I want you to love one another as I love you. That's the love. And in that, that's the peace that passes all understanding. But he tells them, don't be troubled. Ye believe in God. Ye believe in God. Now, think of the Lord telling you right now in the situation that we are in right now. Ye believe in God, the one who possesses all power. Amen? Is he for you? Then who could be against you? Encourage, at least lift my hands up in this. Amen? Praise God. Ye believe in God. That is the one that appoints the wicked for the day of evil. You up against something? How about enemies? Have they come out to just take you down and devising and conspiring against you? He appointed them to do it. Yes. There's a plan. Ye believe in God that withholds nothing good from you? Amen? Ye believe in God, the one who knows what is best for you? You believe in God, the one who works all things together for your good? Do you believe in God? He is our very present help in the time of need? Amen? All right. This is what he's telling them. Ye believe in God. Now, he's told these disciples many times who he is. He said, He that's seen me has seen the Father. He's told them that the Father and I are one. He tells them I'm of the Father. He says, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. And soon no one comes to the Father but by me. So over and over throughout all this time that he's been with them, he's given them no doubt that it is all in me. It's all in me, in Christ. That's what pleased the Father. There is no other way to the Father, to heaven, to enter into rest, to be trouble-free. It's all in me. Praise God. Now, even though, and we know this at this time in these disciples' life, they believe he's the Christ. They've said that. They believe that he is Savior. But you know, there was something that they were facing, I believe, about seeing him physically. And in their eyes, because they could see him physically, it made them different from God, whom they do not see. It's true. Now, they had that issue. You think about Thomas. He had that issue, and then he had the other side of the issue. Well, until I see him walking in here, and I can put my hands in the holes in his hands. Huh? Unbelief is unbelief, no matter how you're going to look at it, huh? Isn't that something? But, well, how could you be God and we see you? And maybe as well, you think about all the things that the Lord has told them. I'm going to be crucified. He's told them that I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. And I'm going to the Father. Do you think that maybe they just thought that he was just talking in parables again? That, you know, these were just kind of things that meant something else? Like a lot of people think today about a rapture. Like a lot of Christians today think about a bridal company that's taken, you know, at the first trump. A lot of people think today, Armageddon, God's going to really come down. And those aren't parables. They're not. It's the Word. And he's telling us very clearly, precisely, exactly what is going to be. And I thank God that we just believe the God. We believe God that these things will happen just as his death and resurrection, hallelujah, happened. That is why he says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. I am a very God. And he tells them, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to be out of your sight, but I'm going to love you to the end. Going over to 1 Peter 1:8, says it like this. In 1 Peter 1:8, because he's getting them prepared. He's getting them ready. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. See, that was the real problem when he died and was in the tomb. They didn't see him any longer and they were in despair. Because they didn't believe. They didn't listen to the word of God. And brothers and sisters, I'm encouraged in everything he's told us. God help us to believe the word of God. Especially when we're in trial. Especially when we are just, again, just, I really, you just feel like, oh my goodness, how many waves are going to hit me? When is this maybe going to end? But he's told you, he's promised me, I will not test you beyond. I will not tempt you beyond what you can bear. The way of escape, I've already made it. After you suffer a while, in due time, I'm going to exalt you. And he does it every single time. Amen? And he does. I was thinking, you know, he showed those children in the wilderness all of these things over 40 years. Sometimes he'll compact that for us and show us those kind of things in 40 minutes. If you pay attention. You know what I'm saying? We've got exceeding great and precious promises. And I'm thankful to the Lord. I know time's nothing to God, but I'll tell you what, I know time's running out, and I know the learning curve to get ready for the bride of Christ is like this right now. And that's the truth. So we thank God in what he's doing. But this is why he says, believe in God also, believe also in me. Now in verse 2, he begins to speak and give them such comfort. My Father's house. Isn't that wonderful? I love, you know, growing up, I'm so thankful about the home I was raised in. It was, you know, mom and dad's house, and the comfort to go to mom to be in my home. And then even when Polly and I were married, the comfort to, you know, I'm going to go to my dad's house, going to go over to dad's or going over to mom's. And, you know, that you know you're welcome there. You know that it's yours. Come on in. We want you here. You're expected. You're longed for. And this is what this is so sweet is he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. So see, he's told them, I see you're troubled. I need you to believe in me. And now I'm going to tell you here, this is what you need to set your affections on. My Father. And by the way, I'm going to bring many sons to glory, your Father's house. All right? This is getting so sweet as he's just so patient and loving. Honey, come on, we're all going home. But see, this speaks of heaven. This speaks of the kingdom. And praise God, what he brings out here is the assurance, the absolute assurance that we Christians have of heaven. And not only are we going to heaven, but our Lord, it tells us here, is making a specific abode, preparing for each and every one of us. Absolutely. It's so sweet. See, as the Word of God tells us, we are tent dwellers here. We're aliens. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. But our home, our citizenship, our permanent dwelling, praise God, is yours and my Father's house. Amen. That's it. There's no question about that. And within the Father's house, Jesus explains to them, oh, there are many mansions. And it's wonderful, and I thank God to think about within the house, there are many mansions within the house. And I, again, it hadn't entered into, eye has not seen, ear heard, entered in the hearts of men, what God has prepared for them that love him. What the Lord and Savior is preparing for us, oh my goodness, it is so beyond, we can't even think of it. You can't even imagine it. You can just know that he's there and then praise God. He fills you with all the wonder of his love. But what's even more wonderful here as we look into this mansion, it really doesn't necessarily mean mansion. The word in the Hebrew is mone. And mone is a dwelling place. A dwelling place. And there's something really precious about this mone, this word. During Christ's time, there was a Hebrew custom that a groom that had chosen a bride would go back before they got married to the father's house. And he would prepare within the father's house basically a dwelling place, a mone. And he would prepare that. And then that would be part of the story as well, too, where he would get his friends because the bride didn't know what time he was coming to get her. You know, oftentimes it would be like early in the morning or the wee hours at night or something of that nature. And that's why the bride began to sleep with her clothes on, that she was always ready to go when the groom came. So much wonderful encouragement for us in the Word of God in this bridal message. But this is what we have here is the Lord has went to the Father's house. Our Lord, our Savior, praise God, is at the Father's house and he is preparing and building and making a special dwelling place. And someday he's coming back to retrieve her and he's going to bring her back and they're going to abide there in the abode in marriage forever. Praise God. And that is so true. And like I say, there's just little weavings of these wonderful bridal messages through all of this precious John. So, you know, mansion's a wonderful thing. But now you got a new word called a mone. And do you think of your Monet as, I saw a lot of Monets, by the way, you know, those masterpieces. But he's got a masterpiece for his bride that he's making. And I'm thankful to God of the depths in this. But he's preparing it right now. And think about this too. He started preparing it by his death and resurrection. That's how he started to prepare it. Because his death, resurrection, and ascension, he won the right to bring many sons to glory. He's the way. Not only did he make the way, he's the way. And praise God, that was the beginning of the preparing. But then within the preparing, praise the Lord, as I've told you, I remember preparing that little house over on Fillmore when Polly and I were going to be married. And all the things that went through my heart and about how the Lord encouraged me about what he was preparing for me. But thanks be to God. He's a romantic like we could never imagine, and he's preparing for us. So what a wonderful, wonderful encouragement here that he is finishing our abode in the house of the Father with him. I love that too, the closeness, because see, the Father, he sure loves his daughter-in-law. He don't want her too far. And I told you that as well too. I was always thankful to see how much my dad loved Polly. She was his daughter, and yet also his daughter-in-law. So there was the double portion to the Father. And it's all there. God has shown us even in our families, and it's a wonderful thing. But another wonderful thought, too, and kind of spoken of this already before we got, he always prepares the place before he brings us into anything. Know that. And boy, do I need to know that. But then he shows you that, and he feeds you that. Even, thank God, before it's completely revealed, you can believe him for it. Amen? See, that's again going back with Martha, as he told her, Martha, you would have seen the glory if you just would have believed. Amen? I don't want to pass up any glory. Nope. We can either go through anxious, or we can go through with glorious expectation. Amen? All right? Now I want you to pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. Glorious expectation. You know, that really makes them enemies upset. Oh, my goodness. We got them cornered. They're done. And they're smiling. Oh, there was some crying. As David said, it took some crying out to get to the praising. But he brings the song in the night, doesn't he? Hallelujah. So, I sure love your faith. Grace of God's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. So, isn't it beautiful too? He says, I'm going to come to receive you to myself. See, he comes. I thank the Lord for so many of the testimonies of my precious brethren who have preceded us. And some of the, you know, encouragements of those that went to be with Jesus. Brother Hill throwing his arms around him as he took him. And many speaking of the music, and then the one speaking of as he's sitting in the chair, well, Jesus is here and gone. So we thank God, but he's coming, and he's coming again, and he is going to meet that precious company that's ready in the air. So we thank the Lord, and this is part of that wonderful gathering in 1 Thessalonians 4. So be encouraged of that, that the Lord, again, bringing comfort in the words, but he's going to give the comfort here soon to shed the love of God abroad. That's really going to bring the comfort. Amen? See, what is the greatest comfort that we have? It's love. It is. I thank the Lord that when we get saved, the comfort that we have a Savior, the comfort that it's the absolute unconditional love of God, that we're going to heaven, that my sins have been forgiven. And then that's just the beginning of understanding that love, and that love grows and grows and grows and grows. And praise God, when we get into bridal love, oh my goodness, the comfort. And boy, do we need comfort. Because why? It's exactly what's going on here. Because you're going to face trouble. You're going to face trouble. And that's the section we're right now in. We hear of the trouble in Thomas. We hear of the trouble in Philip. And what a revelation, how necessary it is for us to encounter trouble to really desire to be comforted. Amen? If we weren't in trouble, why are you going to need any comfort? Amen? All right. You say, my goodness, how much comfort I need. Well, he gave you the comforter. And I need comfort. Oh, yes. But he gave me it all. He gave me the comforter. And see, that's what is coming. The Lord will minister here shortly of the comforter that will come. And how does the comforter comfort us? Think of all these things. He leads us into all truth. When you know all truth, praise God and believe it and rest in it and embrace it. There's no other comfort like that, is there? When you know the outcome, that's the comfort. Now, see, that's the thing the Lord always encourages me. Now, son, you know. Why are you fretting? Huh? Well, Lord, I'm in this sinful flesh. It's completely polar opposite to believing you. But God. But God. Hallelujah. And the new man. And again, that grace and this precious comforter that comforts me to, and see, he brings all things what? To my remembrance. See, he does. Amen? See, if I try to remember what I read in the Word of God, I can't. You know, I can read through so many things so many times, it's like, I can't even start to even quote the verse, let alone give you the whole one. But isn't it amazing how we're in those pressing times and all those things? And then here comes the word, and it's just flowing, and it's there, and he brings it into our remembrance. Now, we want to be meditating on it, obviously, but it's got to be him that gives the increase. And he brings all these things to our remembrance. He takes the love of God, and he sheds it abroad in our heart. And then, praise the Lord, we abound in hope. We abound in hope by the Holy Ghost in believing. Amen. This is why we need this comforter. Again, brothers and sisters, the bridal company is going to, not only a lover, but she is a fighter. A fighter of fighter of fighters. I've just been so enamored reading about David again lately. I mean, they had to pull him off the battlefield. You are not going out anymore. You're going to get yourself killed, King. That was hard for him. You got to know these things. He was a bloody man. It's wonderful. And that was beautiful to God. And God showed that's, you know, think about the bride. She's not just going to sit back and watch him pour it out. She's going to pour it out with him. I love being still and watching these things. But I thank the Lord when, you know what, he delivers the enemies into my hand. He puts my foot on their neck. And then not only do we defeat them and pursue them, David said, and I ground them. What do you think? Oh, Pastor, you're getting kind of out there. I'm going further. Amen? He loves you with a godly jealousy. And he is a jealous God. And whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. Know it. And he will bring it. Vengeance is mine. I will repay it, saith the Lord. All right. Praise his name. See how we need this? Amen. But the minister is the comforter is going to come and he's going to minister to you. He's going to lead you in all truth. But again, isn't it as well the trouble, the sorrow that's going to encourage even all of those to gather in that upper room a little bit? Now, the Lord encouraged him, but, you know, they tarried up there. And boy, did he meet him with fire, didn't he? Hallelujah. But see, this is the amazing faithfulness of God. He knows that in his faithfulness, he afflicts us. He sends that. He brings those giants. He brings those furnaces. He brings those incensed lions roaring that want to just devour us. He brings us to that place. praise God, that we call out to him, amen, that we have trouble, and praise God, here comes the comforter, hallelujah, the power of the Holy Ghost. And how does the power of the Holy Ghost, again, comfort us? He comforts us with truth. Amen, he does. This is sort of a spirit, hallelujah. And that power of his might and that encouragement to believe. Amen. I don't just get encouraged with a feeling. It's the word of God, and nothing can stand. Nothing can against it. Nope, it cannot. It'll be mowed over. So now Thomas, he shows this continuing unbelief here, just as well as Philip, we're going to read about in the next portion. And all I can do is say to my sweet brothers and to all my sweet brethren here, aren't we thankful in our unbelief he abides faithful? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Isn't he wonderful? I just know it. Just know it. I mean, he's showing us so sweetly. I mean, he loves them so much. You can just see his heartbreaking. He's not getting mad. It's just, it hurts his heart that these things are, you know, happening and they're having trouble believing him. So he reminded us and he reminded them, I love you to the end. Okay, let's go ahead and read 7 through 11. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And isn't that something? He speaks to Philip personally here. He loves him. Come on, son. And that's how Jesus does with us. He speaks to us personally. So wonderfully, so intimately, we hear his voice and we hear him. Hallelujah. And he hears us. And he says, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. I'll tell you, this is very powerful and heart encouraging. And I thank the Lord as we read these types of things. Doesn't it want you or encourage you to want to believe the Word of God more? It does. I thank the Lord for these brethren and the things that the Lord has shown us here. But we see that there's a sorrow, there's a sadness in our Savior's heart. Lord, I want to praise you and you to be magnified and to bring you all the glory. And how is that? By taking of the cup of salvation and drinking, believing him. Amen. And this is showing us here that that's all he wants us to do. He doesn't want anything for us except to believe him, to praise him, to thank him, to know this word and to stand in the word of God and to withstand and having done all as all these things have come at us to stand. Praise God. So, you ever tell somebody that you really loved something with such love and you knew what you were talking about, you knew that you're telling them the truth, and yet they still doubted you? It hurts, doesn't it? When you're really trying to tell them something and it's the truth, but yet they doubt you. And I'm talking about even when you're telling somebody that, you know, I love you. I'm here for you. I care for you. The things I'm telling you, they're from the Lord. And how it hurts you, how much more so our Lord and Savior. So I thank God that he can touch us with that understanding. But here, he begins again to make it even more known. Come on now, it's all in me. You want the Father, know me. You want to come to the Father, it's by me. I love 1 Peter 1:21. It tells us without Jesus, you cannot even believe in God. It says in 1 Peter 1:21, who by him, who by Jesus do we believe in God? You cannot believe in God without Jesus. Because you have no faith without Jesus. Amen? So we these are things that are just so simple. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I thank God for this. And see, this is how people try to, and it is, it's such mockery. When they say, oh yes, he was a great teacher, or things of that nature, you know. He was just such a good guy. See, he's not a guide, or he wasn't here to show us a path. He's the way. He is the way. He's the way. He's not a teacher of a doctrine. He's truth. He's the word. He's not merely a healer or a great physician. He is the life giver, as it says in John 10:10. I love that verse in John 10:10. It says there, the thief comes not but to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He is the life giver. Hallelujah. And as he said about during that time of life, he that believeth in me shall never die. Yes, we praise him for these things. So, no man comes to the Father but by me. Tie that in with Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And it says over there in Acts 4, 12. Let's see here. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And boy, are the Christians being persecuted for that. There is a man I read about recently in Germany that has been very encouraged of the Lord to preach the Word of God. And the other so-called Christian pastors are really coming out against him. But we know it's not flesh and blood. We know that this is just spiritual wickedness in high places. People getting bent out of shape about all these things about, well, you know, they could shut this down. And they can't do anything, but God says it. Now, he says, the hearts of the kings are in my hand, and I can turn them just like I turn the waters. Amen? So, what did the Lord say? Believe in me. Believe in me. Where was the expectation that he told the disciples to get their sights on? Your Father's house. Above. Set your affections on the things above. Amen? Yep, we start getting consumed down here and entangled in the affairs of this life. When we start being, again, earth dwellers, instead of where we're seated in the heavens in Christ dwelling, we're going to really have some unbelief that's going to bother us. Amen. So, this is why we hear the Word of God. So, we go on to close this out tonight. Verse 10, I thank God. He shows us here the perfect oneness. God in three persons. And his words, the Word, is the work of the Father. The work of the Father. So, read that with me again here. We have a little bit of time. It says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Go on over to John 6:29. And what is that work? John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Praise God. That's the work. That's the word. That's God's work, is the word of God. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord as Jesus says here, you think about what's in you. Is Christ in you? Is Christ in God and God in Christ? Wow, what's in you? Amen? Thank the Lord. What harmony. What, again, perfect oneness. This wonderful word is all-powerful. It's the works of God. Hallelujah. How mighty it is. The word of the Lord is the only thing that will endure forever. Praise God. And we have it. Hallelujah. And that's why we abide with him forever. And then finally, let's go ahead and see verse 11 there. It says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, this again, you talk about the grace and the grace and the grace and the grace that has come forth just in this short little time we've been in 14. They're troubled. He's been preaching to them. They don't believe. But I just love you. I love you and I love you. And I listen, come on, honeys. Believe. And then you see how each one of them continues to doubt him. And yet he says, believe. And we saw in 13 his love again for souls and again reaching out with all that he could, obviously. It was all there for Judas, but he still refused it. But this is this unfathomable grace. We just can't even imagine or understand it. But here he says, if you still do not believe me by my word. He says, if you still don't believe me by telling you that I am that I am. I'm in the Father and that he's in me. I'll tell you what. I'm going to just say it to you just like I said to the heathen. How many times in the last chapters we read. If you're not going to believe me for my word, at least believe me for my work's sake. Just believe. It's amazing how far unbelief will go. It is. It's amazing. And I'm talking, you know, again, a sinner can't believe because they don't have any faith. They have to believe to have faith. You understand that? So we're talking about the people of God. And the Lord, he said, no, honeys, you're not believing my word. And then I've just shown you. Can you at least believe that? Huh? And that's the truth. And you know he's gotten each and every one of us in those places sometimes. But isn't he gracious? Even when we're just having, I mean, we are not believing God. And then he appears. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And then you go, wow. That's so amazing, Lord. But again, he shows us how feeble we are and how weak we are. And again, how troubled we are, really, but for God. That's the beauty. Again, that, as the Lord was speaking to us on Sunday, that remaining in that brokenness. See, that's, in brokenness, praise God, we believe him. We believe him in that. There's always that part, that broken heart and contrite spirit that always needs to abide. That's what can be strengthened. That's what feeds and then rises up, praise God. As we were speaking of David, and that's why I was so thankful, you know, as we mentioned, didn't really get to finish that thought, and sometimes that's how it is, but God always brings us back because he'll finish it. But about how that warrior in heart, that fighter, and praising God, how God used him. God used him. God anointed him to fight. The mighty men, they fought. And I thank the Lord. That bridal saint, she'll fight. You've caught Mama Bear. And she's going to fight the good fight of faith. You know what I'm talking about? And that's how we need to be encouraged, brothers and sisters. We need to rise up and fight. And in that, that's what's so precious, is that we get to that place in that brokenness. We cry out to God. He attends to us. He hears us. And he strengthens us. And then he's the one that, praise God, causes us to rise up. And then I watch him do it all. He's the one that fights the battle for us, but we go in with him. And I thank the Lord. He's always going before us. Thanks be to God. He's always behind us, and his hand is always upon us. But this is our Lord, and this is what he tells us. And what's so beautiful, what we're coming into, is the beauty of the Comforter, the beauty of the Holy Ghost. Because what we have that they did not have in this regard, and we'll close it with this verse, Romans 15, 13. Here we go. This is what the Holy Ghost does. Now the God of hope, the God of hope. And boy, do we have the God of hope, don't we? And see, now let's remember, that hope is not an if. That hope is just a when. Amen. This is when God does this. Amen. So we call those things which be not as though they were, because our God of hope. Amen. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing. See, there's no other joy or peace without believing. There isn't. And we know that joy and peace escape us when we're not believing. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I encouraged even more and more. I was thinking about Daniel and all of that. Pray. Pray throughout the day. Get down on your knees. I used to tell my wife, I've even left the bed, put my elbows on it. I'm just down on the floor. It's a beautiful place, isn't it? Oh, it's just wonderful to just have him consume you. This isn't positioning here. It's called encouragement to get low. He's the one that does it. Hallelujah. But it's so beautiful. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. See, he wants you to abound in when you're going to do it, Lord. I'm going to abound in, praise God. The way of escape is shown through the power of the Holy Ghost. And we've got that Holy Ghost. As he said to them, he's been with you. He's with you. And he shall be in you. You're going to have this power. You're going to have this power. The power to abound in hope. Because you think you've got some trouble now. You haven't seen anything yet. Because I'm doing a perfecting here on you, Jesse. Hagen. Jen. All, praise God. We're doing a perfecting, Brother Derek. But you're going to need to abound in hope in order to endure it. And I've got the Comforter, the one just to do it. So praise the Lord. Wonderful time. And we need to pray one for one another. And praying in the Holy Ghost for one another. Amen? I thank God. And let that abounding joy just radiate from your heart. I love to hear the Spirit speak through my lips. You bet it edifies you. The Bible said it did. And I'll tell you, this is a time we all need as much spiritual encouragement as we can get. Quench not the Spirit. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.